Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to Geek Watch 1. And wow, something happened this weekend, and every streaming service seemed like they put it all together and everything dropped at once.
Yeah.
We had like, what, four or five, six different streaming services that dropped something on each one of them this weekend?
Thanksgiving is in a few
days.
There
were some pretty either like important or big kind of things dropping that people were looking forward to that, yeah, it all happened at once.
Right. Well, you know, at least here for the next couple of weeks, any network stuff that you're following is gone on hiatus, so this
That's
is time
true.
To do it. So
yeah. So, how you guys doing? I'm tired. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. Short week coming, or by the time guys hear this, you know.
Short week over.
The week is done
for
most of us, or some of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much needed 4-day weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
you can catch up on all the stuff that dropped.
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, Vicky still has to work on Friday.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Hopefully, they'll be able to get her computer fixed so she can work from home.
Nice.
So, what did you guys do this week? Watch a whole bunch of new stuff?
We did. We tried to catch at least a little bit of some of it.
Mm-hmm.
We did watch. What did we get through? 3 episodes of Hitmonkey?
Three.
I think they just have 3 up, or don't they?
No, it's
no,
all
the
of
whole
them up.
Season's up.
Ah, okay.
Whole season. 10 episodes?
Yeah, 10 episodes.
Wow.
So we watched the first few. Yeah, I understand what a lot of the blogs were saying when they said it's the most violent show Marvel has ever had.
Absolutely.
Wow, even worse than Punisher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've actually said the most violent. So
it makes Punisher look like Boy Scout camp.
Like, admittedly, it's cartoon violence and cartoon blood, but there's a hell of a lot of it.
But here's the thing, though. You're dealing with the Yakuza, and for some reason, the Yakuza and Japanese military, anything involved them is, like, hyper-violent.
Well, you're dealing with the Yakuza and a crazy monkey out for revenge.
Yeah.
See, you don't need the Yakuza. All you gotta say is crazy monkey out for revenge, and you got most guys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah. So you basically get the gist of everything in the first episode, and it just goes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw the first 10 minutes or so of the first episode. So we saw the opening scene, and then the guy gets to his hotel and starts partying. That's about as far as we made it.
Oh, wow. You didn't even get into the good
stuff. I know.
You didn't get into the good stuff.
Like, you didn't even get into the monkey part yet.
Like, it reminds me, it gives me everything that I like about Archer. But
it's a little smarter. He's smarter than Archer.
Yeah.
He does party a lot like Archer, but he's smarter than him.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Archer meets John Wick almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that.
And he also has, he does have a sense of decency where Archer has a sense of decency. He just really hides it a lot.
Archer is all about himself, though.
Yeah. But this dude, like, there are moments where you just feel really sad for him.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
But you don't have to know anything about the comic. Honestly, I've never read the comic, didn't look into it at all. It's one of the weirder comics anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know anything about it to get into the show. If you like super violent action shows. I mean,
I don't watch, I've never watched Archer, but I've seen the commercials and stuff, and the animation on this it looks very similar.
It is a bit.
It is a bit.
It's good animation. It's not hard to get into the animation on this. It's not extreme one way or another. So mm-hmm.
It's not MODOK?
Yeah. No, it's not MODOK, nor is it like an anime style, really.
Right. No,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, it's good to get into. And one of the other ones I watched, speaking of animation, was Dogs in Space, which started on Netflix. The whole season's out there. It's a cartoon, literally about dogs in space. Dogs have been kind of hybridized and enhanced to be able to fly spaceships to look for a new planet for humans because, of course, we've destroyed this one and we need a new place to live.
Right.
And
the age-old story.
It's not a kid's cartoon in the sense of it not being, like, simplified and silly, mm-hmm. but it's not a fully, like, mature adult cartoon, like Rick and Morty sort of thing. It's right. kind of like, I guess I'd probably put it like below Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have the you know, double entendre, wink, wink kind of humor that Bob's mm-hmm. Burgers has sometimes. Right. But it's got some stuff that, you know, kids won't understand necessarily with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this, aside from the fact that it's got a great voice cast, it has Haley Joel Osment, Sarah Chalk, Chris Parnell, Deborah Wilson. It even has William Jackson Harper, who played Chidi in The Good Place. What I like about it is that it actually has specific breeds of dogs. It's not just generic dog.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like, Captain Garbage, the dog's name is Garbage. He's a captain. Captain Garbage is a corgi who is, who wants to have all the alien life forms like him. He's a negotiator because that's what corgis do. And then you have, then you have Loaf, who is, who's basically like the tactician, but he's a pug. And he's really anxious about everything and isn't sure about decision making. And then you have, there's a Chihuahua who's kind of like the engineer. You have a collie who, of course, comes in as the hero. There's like, it's just like the dog stereotypes are there. And I just think it's cool they actually paid attention to that. And they also give them dog mannerisms. Like these are, as enhanced dogs, they're supposed to be a little more polite and have etiquette, etc. So like they get stared at if they lick water out of their bowl, but there's like an underground where they can actually, you know, go and lift their leg against a hydrant and sniff socks and all this kind of, like there's an underground version where they can be dogs. And when they're running a lot, they just suddenly collapse and start panting. Like it's just and at one point the pug goes, I'm sweating and I don't even have sweat glands. Like, it's just... So it's kind of cute, but it's, I don't know. It's just one of those fun little things I can turn on when I'm on, you know, on my laptop or whatever. So and I'll watch anything with a dog, as we know. So.
And I'm doing my end run of my reading challenge. So, and I don't know why it took me so long to do this, considering how long they've been out. I decided to set myself up for success, and I would read the noir, the Marvel noir books. Wow. Yeah. It, a lot of this stuff, and, you know, it's what you think of the typical noir type of stuff. And these books are like, you know, cool black and white with some of them may have a little splash of color. And depending on the story, it can either be, you know, these characters set in a realistic world, like what they did with X-Men. Instead of being mutants, they were considered
they were outcasts.
They were outcasts, but they like had mental issues. They were basically social deviants, the only way I can describe it. And so, like, say Cyclops, he has one eye, but he is a dead shot. Like he can shoot anything with no, and
because that's how it works.
Well, yeah, well, it is true, you know. Or
well,
like,
hey, if you only have one eye, just like if you lose senses, the other ones get stronger. If you lose one eye, the other one becomes really strong.
Well, right. I know.
I mean, I've seen it. You like if you ever, I don't know if you ever have an opportunity to go to the range with Dawn.
Or I could just play one of those zombie shooting games.
Or one of the zombie shooting games.
I'm good at those.
Or like their version of Rogue. So you know how Rogue takes on the powers of...
She just touches people.
People. Rogue, when she's around people, she takes on their personality traits. So if she's around really rich people, she becomes like them.
Very snooty.
Very snooty. So like, she's able to fit into whatever crowd she's in, but she has no personality of her own.
Right.
So sociopaths. That's what they call them. So that was
took
it.
Took you a while to get there, but you got there.
But like, Spider-Man Noir. So Spider-Man has powers, but it comes from an Egyptian god of vengeance. That's a spider god.
That makes sense in the pulpy noir realm, though.
Right. And so, like, it was... And that one is probably probably the darkest of all the books.
Which is interesting that it's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's considered the lighter side of Marvel for the most part.
Right, you know, like this version of Peter is definitely, he's darker. Yeah. He uses a gun.
Well, it's noir, of course he does.
Right.
Everyone uses a gun.
And Uncle Ben dies, but all this happens off camera.
Right.
You know, but Uncle Ben had died a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But it was all, I don't know, it's really interesting. And World War I plays a big role in this. Too,
yeah, that's not surprising.
Right. So yeah, I'm.
Yeah, this probably. So, what time frame does this happen at? Is it the 30s or 40s?
It's 20s, late 20s, early 30s. Like
okay.
At this point now, like I just finished Iron Man Noir, and that is like 38 or so. And so, and so I'm
approaching the second.
Yeah, we're approaching World War II. Yeah, like in some of the stories now, you're seeing stuff what's going on in Germany. Right. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that would make sense why World War I would have such a huge effect on this.
Right.
Oh, and if you want something dark, I've also been watching Hellbound, which just released on Netflix. It's another Korean series. It's dubbed, so don't worry about having to read. You do have to read when they have things, you know, printed, but yeah. There's some subtitles. But it's a Korean horror. It's not a flat out like edge of your seat horror. It's a series. It's 6 episodes. I've almost finished it, and it's basically people get told they're going to die and go to hell, and they're given a time span. And then when that time span is up, these things appear, beat the hell out of them, and then burn them to a crisp.
Okay.
And so you've got that horror side of thing, this demon hell horror thing. And then you've also got a religious cult that believes this is coming down from God and taking out the sinners. And then you've got like the people who are trying to protect the families of those who have been told they're going to die. And then you've got another like fringe group who's basically beating up those who are trying to protect others. And there's a lot going on, but it's actually pretty decent. But there's not a lot of like the horror side. It's a lot more of a drama and trying to figure out what's going on with these people and why this is happening, because there's no explanation for it.
Well, that's the way it seems like for a lot of horror TV shows. Stuff like Supernatural was technically horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have just bloody, gory slasher every week and everybody's dying because you ran out of people.
Right. And this has a lot more to do with like the interactions between the opposing groups and stuff as they're trying to essentially exploit what's going on for their own gains.
Yeah.
And but it's actually pretty interesting, and it's based on a web cartoon, which I haven't watched, but it's not based on an actual anime or book or manga or anything. It is based on a web cartoon, but it's pretty good.
Cool.
It's like sounds like it's in the same vein as, I don't know, The Real Housewives, because that's like a horror to me.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
That's a horror to a lot of people.
Reality TV in general is just horror stories.
Yes, yes. That's something to stay away from.
So we didn't get a chance to catch up on much of anything this week, just because it's just been really, really busy. I did get a wrestling show in. I've only got 2 shows left for the rest of the year, as far as I know.
Nice.
So I can actually just rest and recover, do some training, and get ready to go for the new year coming up.
Cool.
So
try to plan like our next year's schedule.
Yeah, we got to start planning because Vicky wants to start doing art shows again. She's got one coming up this weekend. But other than that, now we got to sit. Okay, I can talk to the people I'm working for wrestling. Okay, what are your weeks? So we know what weeks are open that we can do other stuff.
Right. Well, I saw a friend of ours and of the show, Heather Kreider, posted her schedule already for next year. She's got 10 or 12 shows booked.
Oh, wow. Good.
So, yep.
Oh, yeah. It's for those of us that do shows and things, now's the time to start planning.
Applications start coming out in a month.
Yeah, a lot of the applications, like for your summer shows, start in January.
Well, yeah, depending what kind of show you're going for, a lot of them are out already.
Right.
So. Yeah, for the big conventions and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Those ones open up within a week after the convention is over.
Right.
But then again, that's because they fill up that fast. Everybody wants to get in there as quick as they can.
Yeah. Well, and if it's the sort of thing where you've done well and you're going to keep doing it year after year, you can usually just grab your spot during the convention itself.
Yeah,
well, that was like that Bigfoot Con I did. He went around and was signing people up for next year.
Right.
So we already know we went ahead and did it because they were already almost sold out and the show wasn't even over yet.
Yep.
So we do know one show she's doing next year. She's doing the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
There you go.
So, but that's what we've been doing. But Dawn, what's the rest of the world been up to?
Well, there was a bit of news this week. One of the things actually still happening as we're recording this weekend is the D23 experience, which to attend, you have to be a D23 member, Disney D23 member. But you can watch a lot of the stuff streaming online. I watched a bit of it in the park-related stuff. They have This is where they give updates on a lot of the stuff that's in production, a lot of the stuff doing with the parks, with the resorts. So on Saturday, I watched to find out updates on the parks, both stateside and around the world. It was pretty cool because they were talking about, you know, we know that Walt Disney World is currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. Disneyland will have its 60th. I believe it's the 30th coming up for Disneyland Paris. So they talked about things like ongoing celebration stuff, new character things, various events they were going to have, merchandise even they talked about, and they talked about some of the new things they were building at the parks, like Disney Tokyo Sea is getting a whole new section, a whole new land that includes things like, Peter Pan and Frozen and things like that. And then they talked about things that are coming back post-pandemic. Well, not entirely post, but anyway. Things that they had kind of held back on or canceled during the pandemic. Things like character breakfasts, which are huge for Disney people. Now you'll actually have the characters walking around between tables and that again. Certain types of foods are coming back. Certain shows are coming back. So they're basically getting more comfortable allowing people to kind of crowd around things, whereas they were being so much more careful before. One of the other things they showed was a sneak peek at the Galactic Star Cruiser at Disney, which we all know already is the big Star Wars experience that opens in March. And basically, the experience itself is 2 days, two nights of fully immersible, essentially LARPing, live action role play. You can take a side, everything you do. You don't have to, you can go in and just enjoy the experience, but for the people who are really in it, they give you Jedi robes to wear, or they give you First Order outfits to wear.
Actually, every interaction you can have, get that Dawn, you can get that stuff, but you got to pay for it. That's extra getting the actual costumes.
The whole experience you got to pay for, obviously. You pay a lot more than you would for just a basic vacation. If you're going to go, you may as well do the whole thing. Otherwise, what's the point? Right. But every interaction you have affects further interactions. So if you're friendly with people who work there who are in Jedi costumes or who are in Rebel costumes or that, well, then that'll affect how people from the First Order interact with you when they come across you. so they've gotten very immersive in this whole thing. They also have things you can do while there. You're not only just staying on the Star Cruiser, which, by the way, doesn't have real windows. It has visual display windows, so it looks like you're in space in your rooms. They showed the host that was talking about this actually did the bit of the Jedi lightsaber training where you stand in a room with the lightsaber and it looks like lasers are coming at you, but it's just shots of light, but the lightsaber reacts to it as you're swinging it around. And also being on the bridge and being able to aim and target as you're being attacked by the First Order. Going into warp speed on the bridge. You can do all these kind of little things. One of the other things he did show was the actual lightsaber that Disney has created that comes out of the handle. Like, it actually comes up and out.
Well, see, now, I remember some years ago, you talked about Disney working on it. There was a patent for it.
Yeah. Now they showed it on stage. They dimmed the lights and showed it on stage. He brought it out, and all it was the handle. And then when he pressed the button, out came the lightsaber.
Yeah,
so, it's real.
It's a thing. They also did a whole thing with the Imagineers where they showed some of the things they're working on. And one of the things they showed was a freestanding walking child Groot, actually moving around, moving his head, interacting. Walking around, because those are the little robotic things that they do at Disney that will scare the hell out of people in a few years.
Woot, woot, baby Groot.
If you didn't know, on Avengers Campus, there's a portion of walking through there where Spider-Man flies through the air over the walkways.
Yeah.
That's a robot. That's not a person. That's the robotic, free-floating, free-jumping robot they created years ago that they finally found a purpose for.
And it is doing trapeze style, where it's letting go of one rope, flying through the air freely to grab the next one.
Exactly. He does the full Spider-Man. He flips around, grabs another. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to be scared of robots, go to Disney.
Next step, Skynet.
Yes. But there's a whole bunch of announcements and stuff they made and things they showed this weekend. That, you know, they're, like I said, there's still a bit more going on, but if you're a Disney person, you'll pick it up along the way. Or if you watch TikTok and follow Disney accounts on TikTok, there's been all kinds of things coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you can watch these things.
Well, the cool thing with that Galactic Star Cruiser, the way they're setting that up, they're basically, without moving anywhere, they're setting up as a 3-day, 2-night cruise style. Mm-hmm. Where you log in, and then your away excursion that you'd usually have on the second day of a cruise will be going to Galaxy's Edge for half the day and then coming back.
Right. Well, I mean, you get park tickets with it, so thankfully you don't have to stay there the whole time.
You for this, you only get Galaxy's Edge.
Well, you get special access to Galaxy's Edge is one of the things you get. Mm-hmm. So you get, like, early access before other guests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you get to go experience all that early, and you get, like, front-of-the-line stuff. Mm-hmm. And because they have a new line system as well called the Genie.
Right.
But yeah, so you get exclusive access to things. And then there's the restaurants and the food and that kind of thing. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cheapest 3-day ticket, I believe, was $4,800 a person.
Yep. Yeah, but, I mean...
But no, all your
if you want the captain's cabin, if you want the captain's cabin, it's only $10,000 a person.
Right.
Yeah.
And Disney people will do that.
Yeah.
So it's not, honestly, talking about money doesn't matter to Disney people. They'll go do it anyway.
I mean, like, if this is one of those things where if you're going to do it big, because it's a once in a lifetime experience.
Exactly.
You know, for most
if you're paying
people,
for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving on. One of the other big things that came out the past week was the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer that actually gave a look at all the villains that did not give a look at the extra Spider-Men who people looking closely can tell have been erased from the trailer.
Yeah.
there are some erasures going on because there's some weird things going on with pixels at a couple points in the trailer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we all know that Marvel lies to us in trailers anyway, so...
No!
It's there's always scenes we never get in the movie.
They put it on the internet. You know they're not allowed to put it on the internet if it's not 100% true.
Exactly! It's true. If you see it on the internet, it's true. See it on the big screen, because we got the trailer when we went to see the movie the other night.
Oh, yeah.
So it was on the big screen. It's got to be true. So, you know, a lot more speculation involved and people saying things are and aren't in it that'll keep happening until the movie comes out in like a month. Less than a month. Just under a month, the movie's out. A couple weeks, you can buy tickets. Mm-hmm. Going away from Marvel for a moment, we got confirmation that Hulu has announced the premiere date for season 10 of cult comedy hit Letterkenny.
Yay!
There was a 30-second teaser. It'll be available for streaming on December 26th. So get all of your Christmas celebrations out of the way and then sit back and watch Letterkenny and grab a drink and all that stuff. The good thing was the series filmed season 10 and 11 back-to-back during the pandemic. So it means the next season won't be all that far away if you're giving us this one now. Interestingly, actors and co-creators Jared Kesso and Jacob Tierney have announced that there's going to be a full-length spin-off from the show, and filming for that is currently underway. It's titled Shorzy.
Oh, no!
And if you watch Letterkenny, you know this is a smart-mouthed hockey player who you never actually see. So no. It'll be interesting to see if you see him. He's one of those voices in the background that you never actually see the guy. So it'll be interesting. Shorzy. He's actually voiced by Jared Kesso, who plays the main role in Letterkenny. But it hasn't been stated whether he's actually reprising that role. If he's off screen, I guess he can still voice it. But if he's going to be shown, he can't really.
You see him from behind, though. Like, you know.
Yes, you've seen him from behind a couple times, but not. You saw him naked in the shower in one of the scenes.
You saw him naked doing a handstand.
Yeah. Okay.
You can watch Letterkenny. That's all we're saying. It's Canadian humor. But another TV series announcement. The first teaser trailer for the upcoming Halo series was released. It was previously announced the series would air not on Showtime as originally planned, but on Paramount Plus instead.
Mm-hmm.
The first teaser, of course, features Master Chief, who is played by Pablo Schreiber, and it gives a first glimpse at what the live-action Halo universe will look like. The TV series is scheduled to stream exclusively on Paramount Plus in 2022, so it's coming next year. And the good news for fans is that the developer of the Halo video games is assisting in the production of the series.
Okay, cool.
So they have input into how everything looks and how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we found out, actually, this was right before the movie started on Friday night when I was flipping through Facebook. We found out that Delroy Lindo has joined the cast of Blade. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the first thought in everyone's mind is he Whistler? Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. We only know who's playing Blade at this point. So we know now we know Delroy Lindo is involved. They didn't say hero or villain, just that he's been cast for something.
Okay.
He would be perfect as Whistler. I mean, he's older. He's got that, you know, wizened thing going on.
I gotta look him up.
Unless they decide that they want to bring in Dominic Fortune.
Right.
I'm still salty about that.
Ah, okay.
The other thing that that Kylan was very happy to hear, because we knew this movie was coming, Mel Gibson has confirmed he will not only be in but will direct Lethal Weapon 5.
Cool.
The film is scheduled to begin production next year, and we know that the original franchise director Richard Donner died earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, according to Mel Gibson, Donner was developing the screenplay and got pretty far along with it, and he actually said to Mel Gibson, "Listen, kid," he called him kid because he was in his 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "If I kick the bucket, you'll do it." Like, he told him, he didn't ask him. He said, "If I kick the bucket, you'll do it." And he was like, "Shut up." He actually like told him to shut up. But he actually said this to, you know, his wife and the studio and the producer. And so Gibson kind of feels like, well, he has to do it.
Yeah.
So
if Donner believed enough in this that we can get a 5, I'm on. I'm on board for it. I love the series. And I know that at this point, both of them, Murtaugh and Riggs, are both in their 70s. You know,
we'll have both of them in it. You can't have a Lethal Weapon movie without both of them in it.
Right. Well, you got to think big the cast got by Lethal Weapon 4. How many of those ones are going to be coming back? Not just the two of them, but.
Yeah. I mean, Murtaugh's kids are all grown at this point.
Right. Chris Rock at this point is probably like chief of police.
Yeah.
Riggs had a baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
So Riggs' baby should be old enough for a police academy at this point.
We'll see if Rene Russo shows up.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Dude, you got Joe Pesci better be there.
Okay.
Leo Getz has to be getting something.
Production starting next year, so I'm sure we'll hear more as time goes on in terms of who's showing up and who's coming back and all that. So we'll keep you guys posted.
Cool.
The other movie-related news, it is Marvel again, but it's kind of interesting. Black Panther Wakanda Forever has been put on a production hiatus until at least January. Now, this is because of star Letitia Wright's injuries. Initially, they temporarily stop production, which was not going to be for long. But apparently those injuries are more extensive than initially believed, that she has a shoulder fracture and concussion. Mm. The fact that they were going to stop it even for a short amount of time tells you how important Shuri's character is to the movie itself.
Right. Yeah.
Because if she was only going to have the side role like she had in the original or something, or even something like, you know, the smaller Avengers role, they wouldn't have stopped production. They could have shot around it for a lot of stuff.
Right.
So this kind of, without them giving us anything about the plot, it tells you a lot that they're actually just halting it all until at least January. And at this point, there's no word on whether this is going to affect the release date with all the shifts we've had recently anyway.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see about that.
As I've said before, they need to stop announcing release dates years ahead of time. Just wait till you got the movie in the can and ready to go. Maybe a year out, because a year out, you can actually make the announcement and everybody will, you'll still have plenty of time to do your marketing and everything else.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can kind of put dibs on a release date without telling people what the movie is.
Right.
I mean, let them speculate. It puts more involvement on the audience when they're just like, ooh, I wonder what's going to come out. And they start speculating on that anyway.
Yeah, right. Release your release calendar and say, okay, right, for next year, this is what's coming out. And then after that, it's all unnamed this, unnamed that.
Right. Just
and you can say it's Marvel or Star Wars or whatever, but that's all you need to say.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Disney does it, DC does it, Warner Brothers does it. Like, they basically reserve dates as it is because they don't want to release movies close to each other.
Right.
So we know they do this 3, 4, 5 years ahead of time. Keep those dates.
I would not be surprised if there wasn't a studio summit they've not told anybody outside of the studio, where the studio heads or scheduling guys all go together and they have the giant 5-year calendar and say, okay, we want this, this, and this. What do you guys want? And they just start wheeling and dealing like the stock exchange.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I can see that. I couldn't see that. Because,
and it's an ultra-secret thing that is only for the studio scheduling guys.
Because if you look at it aside from that, it's like the beginning of the year at your job trying to get all the dates you want to get and all the holidays off.
Right.
Like, exactly. So that, you know, if it's restricted where you have to agree with your coworkers who's getting what holiday and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's chaotic at that point. So
it is, exactly.
I think every once in a while, I think a studio comes into it and goes, ha, we're taking this date. And the other one goes, wait a minute. You know?
Well, wait, we'll give you these two dates if you let us have that one.
Right, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think they kind of have to agree to some extent, because it's kind of stupid because they do all seem to announce dates around the same time, like, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, oh, for next year we have these dates, and the next year, the year after, we have these dates, and then the next studio comes out the next day and says we have these dates.
Right, exactly.
It's like, huh, wonder how you got those. So that's basically the news for the week. There wasn't anything life shattering in the geek world.
Yeah. Well, there was something life-shattering in the geek world that wasn't news, but it hit the big screen theater after what, a year and a half of waiting at this point.
A few delays.
Yes,
we finally got Ghostbusters Afterlife.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I saw your posts on Facebook, Dawn, and I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it as well.
Yeah,
it seemed like everybody I talked to and everything I saw, everybody was loving this movie.
Yeah, but they were loving it for the same reason I didn't love it.
Because of all the nostalgia and the stuff that was brought back?
Yes, because basically that's all it was. It was, ooh, I recognize that piece of equipment. Ooh, I recognize that person. Ooh, I recognize that. Like, that's all it was over and over. So it was fan service at the expense of good writing and a decent story.
Yeah, well, the one thing I enjoyed about that, though, was, like we said with some of the TV series season 2s, this was like a season 2 for Ghostbusters. Because you go into it knowing all the characters, knowing everything, so you can put more detail into what it was.
Well,
because you don't have to reintroduce everything.
No, but they did reintroduce everything, because you had the kids discovering everything and re-explaining everything that happened and showing the clips from the original as if nobody knew what was going on. Like, this whole thing was, it really was the Phantom Menace of the Ghostbusters series. It was made for kids, and it threw in the nostalgia for the adults. Like, that's what it was. Because the whole thing focused on the kids.
Yeah.
Right.
it could have been rewritten so that the daughter was the one finding these things out. The daughter was the smart science geek instead of her daughter being the science geek. Like, we didn't need the kids. The kid story was unnecessary. We could have done it with Egon's daughter. They could have thrown in a son as well.
Right.
And it could have been her instead of her being the dippy blonde who didn't like science. That bothered me too.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're also not sure when he left how old she really was. Because it didn't seem like she was very old when he left.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But she was bitter and didn't want anything to do. Like, didn't want to be like her dad.
Yeah. She may have had the science interest, but knew her dad was a scientist and said, I will never touch this.
Right. But I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, it could have been rewritten to make her a better character. Because she was not likable at all. That's the thing.
Yeah.
She wasn't likable.
But,
now, I mean, especially after what they had done, well, what we had gotten with, was that the 2016 Ghostbusters movie? And, you know, they that was one of those where they took what was familiar, but they also kind of put a new spin on it. And I think that I like the movie to a certain degree, but I was hoping that we would have had some kind of acknowledgement of those of that team, because there was some technology that came out from them that I loved, like the two like hand blasters.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh man, you know, that would have been awesome.
This was a response to the response to that movie,
right?
With all the hater fanboys who just did not want women in charge because that's why they trashed it.
Well, it was
a better movie than this one. And this kind of went too far in the opposite direction. Like, oh, look, you didn't get all the fan service you wanted from that movie. You didn't get the guys fighting ghosts in that movie. So we'll give you everything in this movie, but we won't have as much fun with it.
And the funny thing is, they had a girl doing most of the fighting in this one, too.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, those
but
misogynistic
But it was like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, they don't care that it's a kid.
Yeah.
As long as it's a kid, they don't mind if it's a girl. But this movie wasn't even all that fun. They had a few good jokes, but it's like they forgot the fun of the original. Like, that's what I was looking for.
Right.
I was looking for a fun movie. This was not fun.
See, I thought with this one for myself, when I was watching it, I thought the feel of it was almost dead center between Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. Because if you remember, Ghostbusters was a comedy that leaned more towards adult. It had a little more language, a little more crass. Some of the jokes in it were a little bit more adult. Then it's like they went the opposite direction with Ghostbusters 2 and leaned more towards families and kids. They scrubbed all the language out of it. And and they had the Statue of Liberty walking around and all that type of stuff. So, and this one seems like it fell between the two of them when it comes to something like that. You had a little bit of language, a little bit of adult humor, but it was still more towards kids.
No, this was not adult at all. This felt it was like definitely for kids. This is like, out of the four movies, this ranks fourth.
Yeah.
Like it's, they wasted Paul Rudd, for one thing. They made such a big deal of Paul Rudd being in this movie, and he was barely in this movie.
Well, he was Rick Moranis.
And then he was like suddenly Louis Tully. Like, all of a sudden, once he was possessed by the hellhound, he became dippy, and it's like, ooh, I'm Keymaster Gatekeeper crap. Like, and that's another thing. Can we have a third act that wasn't the exact third act of the first movie? This is what people are forgetting. Like, they're getting so caught up in the nostalgia of the entirety of this movie, they're forgetting that they gave us nothing new in terms of the bad guys in the movie. There was nothing new at all. All of them were the same, the hellhounds and Gozer, and it was the exact same plot at the end of the movie. Let's bring the guys in.
Well, the MacGuffin was the same streams. But the way you deal with it was different, because you got to remember crossing the streams didn't work at all.
But they still tried it.
Yeah, they tried it because the guys had never done anything else since then. Remember, they said after what happened in 91 with Ghostbusters 2, ghosts all but fell off the face of the earth.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've not been doing anything since then, so the only trick they know is that one.
Right.
So when the kids figured out what Egon figured out, they were able to actually do something totally different that the guys had no clue what was going on.
No, that was not totally different. It was still a trap, and they crossed the streams and eventually caught them. I mean, it wasn't totally different.
They didn't use traps in the first one.
That's what I'm trying to point out. This was not totally different. They did not bother with they spent their money on Paul Rudd and bringing back the guys and special effects to bring in a ghost who didn't need to be there all that long. That's what they did. And they wanted to make it a tearjerker for the fans. Let's have him stand around and hug people and look at people and not talk.
That actually worked for me.
Glance over. He was there far too long. It got so damn uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was waiting to see whether or not he would actually talk.
Like, I'm like,
wait a minute.
This was Force Ghost Egon, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessary for him to be around that long. Like, it was kind of nice when, like, the stuff at the beginning when the ghost was, like, playing chess with his granddaughter, mm-hmm, and showing her, like, he knew she was the smart one and she would figure it out. That was, mm-hmm, kind of cute.
Right. Yeah.
And then at the end, when you see his arm come in and help her guide the stream, that kind, mm-hmm, of thing, that was good. And like showing him for like a minute or two, that would have been fine. But it's like everyone needed this farewell, and then his daughter had to hug him, and it just kind of got so sappy.
Yeah, but you don't like the sappy on anything, on most things.
Well, no,
not
I,
anything, but
I
most
don't,
things.
I don't, but there, I've seen plenty of posts that agree that it was just far too long and uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, that's where I disagree, because I actually enjoyed that. Now, it could have gone a little shorter, yeah, but wasn't bothered by how long it went.
Right.
So, but in general, I thought the effects on this, I mean, yeah, they did very good making it look and feel like the original when it came to the ghost effects and that type of thing. I'm kind of, mm-hmm, happy that Muncher Ghost was not Slimer, because in the trailers and stuff, I was wondering, are they just changing Slimer and using it? I mean, it's got a similar... Well,
People were talking about they're like, oh my god, Slimer looks so different. Like, calm down, it's not Slimer, just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tardigrade based ghost. It's,
mm-hmm. Well, Slimer had such a huge effect on the original run of Ghostbusters up to the mid-90s.
Right. And I mean, I was happy with how that ghost looked. I was disappointed there weren't more individual ghosts. Like the original movie, you got more individual ghosts.
Right.
This one, you got Muncher and you got the zombie miner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got all these like swirling things in a pit.
Yeah.
Like they spent the money on other effects that they could have spent on giving us more individual ghosts.
Right.
Hey, we got all the individual Stay Puft Marshmallow Men.
Yeah, we got the ridiculously unnecessary Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. Don't get me started on that one. There was no explanation for possessed marshmallows.
That was the fact of getting a fun scene is all it was, because just
that
watching what kind of weird stuff they're doing.
It was Gremlins.
That was appealing to the kids again.
Yeah, that was their Gremlins scene.
Right there. That was proof right there that it was for kids, mm-hmm, and they were trying to come out with something cuter than Baby Yoda. That's what it was.
There was one decent jump scare in it. The jump scare when the devil dog attacks the mom, because I wasn't expecting out of nowhere. The camera turns and jumps at you.
Yeah, Kylan jumped at that.
So
I do, but, you know.
That's what I said. It was a decent jump scare.
They look at me. Yeah. I mean, there was just too much wrong with this movie for me to like it all that much. Mm. And the other thing, it's 2 hours long. The problem is it felt like 2 hours long. It took too long to get anywhere at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like they cut a lot of stuff out. Because J.K. Simmons has the most wasted cameo I've ever seen in a movie.
Where was he?
He was the dead guy. He was Ivo. And you recognize him for the split second that you see his face when he's alive again.
Right.
And then he's killed. Like, he's in a coffin, he's alive for 2 seconds, and then he's killed.
Right.
There had to be more to it to get J.K. Simmons to be in that role.
Right.
Yeah, that or he really loved Ghostbusters.
But, I mean, it's such a waste. Like, it was just, like, this great actor, J. Jonah Jameson, all the rest of the stuff, Commissioner Gordon, like, everything else,
mm-hmm,
and you waste him on a 2-second cameo that no one's going to care about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's...
Well, it's funny, because the character of Ivo is not the waste, it's that fact that he didn't have much on-screen time. But then again, that's one of those, at that point, they had to keep everything moving. They couldn't let him walk around and, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I said I think they cut stuff out involving Ivo.
Maybe a flashback or something. But flashbacks aren't a Ghostbusters thing.
No, they're not. But I mean, like, we already knew the name because we knew him for the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, the girl explains everything as to why we know that name and reminds, mm-hmm, us what was in the first movie.
The one thing that actually explains some of that, though, is when I was at a wrestling show yesterday, the one guy that I wrestled with, now all of us love Ghostbusters. Because we were there to experience what happened when Ghostbusters was released. In the 10 years of Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters ruled everything. He didn't grow up with that. He grew up afterwards, so he's seen the movies, but they're just movies that he saw.
Right.
For us, it's as much the experience as it was the movies themselves. Well, is what I'm seeing. The girl explaining all this stuff is for the people who don't remember what Ghostbusters was for everybody.
I get that, and I mean, but there's plenty of fans who are too young to remember the original that are, like, major Ghostbusters fans. But the other thing you have to remember, it's not just that when Ghostbusters came out, it was a big deal. Ghostbusters came out in 84. 84 was, like, a golden year for movies, period.
Well, yeah. Right.
So we have that nostalgia as well. It's all combined. Like, we have the nostalgia of the movie coming out and seeing it originally and people getting into the Ghostbusters stuff. But we also have all the other movies that came out from 83 to 85.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of all goes together in terms of the nostalgia for geeks of our generation.
Yeah.
You know, right. So yeah, I get that part of it. And I get, you know, I get why people are into it and all that.
I think
the original.
Well, the movie clips that they put in there from the original, I think, was also to show the kids, hey, this is what happened back then, because the real world was in Ghostbusters Mania as much as those YouTube clips from the movie were.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think that was part of the problem of this being such a kid's movie, because the kids had to watch these things and discover everything. And so let's explain to the kids watching this actual movie that what happened. Like, it just, mm-hmm. There were so many other ways, and they still could have shown clips, and it just felt such a, like, I don't know, Stranger Things, Goonies kind of movie.
Well, that's also, that is what is selling in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is. I mean they're still good movies. They're just not hitting, like, where you want to hit, or, you know what I mean?
Right. They're not hitting, like, the original. People are claiming that, oh, this is just like the original. It feels like the original. It doesn't.
Well, it does feel similar to the original.
Your nostalgia is blinding you to the fact that this is not like the original. You're just seeing characters from the original, and you're seeing equipment from the original and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the fun factor of the original.
No.
It really doesn't.
It was that's one of the things, like, you know, with the first one, you know, you see them, like, trying to, like, the trial and error of trying to figure this stuff out. The thing that probably got me was, you know, whereas, you know, by the time they become Ghostbusters, except for Winston, they had years and years of training and experience dealing with the paranormal.
Yeah, they had multiple PhDs.
That sort of thing. Whereas, you know, we get here and, you know, not, I guess, with the help of her grandfather, you have somebody who's handled a proton pack for all of a day and a half.
She knows how to use it.
I'm trying not to be too practical about it.
Well,
I really think, though,
they had the multiple PhDs, but they built the proton packs. All she had to do was put it on and turn it on. So she didn't have to know how it works. She just had to know where to point it.
Yeah, but have you ever? Okay.
Well, she did have to do some building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that they kind of established that early on when she's playing with electricity and all that stuff, but not.
Yeah, I mean, she had knowledge. She had scientific knowledge.
Yeah.
Right.
But she also wasn't exactly cautious. Like, she didn't even care what this thing would do when she turned it on.
Well, that also shows she's a 12-year-old.
That's true.
Right. I mean, it took me back.
She should have been Venkman's daughter, granddaughter, not Spankman.
Whoa, nice shooting, Tex. I thought about that once. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, you're walking around with a nuclear reactor on your back, and you're just blasting. But then again, it makes sense. If I was 12 years old, somebody gave me a proton pack, I would probably just start blasting.
Yeah, you probably would have turned it on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What does this button do? Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing I was, the only part really I was disappointed in somewhat was I've listened to the soundtrack of it, and the way they did the soundtrack is basically the Firehouse interlude over and over and over again with other stuff added to it.
Yeah.
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 Because there was all kinds of other stuff in the original soundtrack. I mean, there was some world music in there in this one of like songs you've heard before and stuff, but it wasn't nearly as rich as the scores for the other ones.
No.
Right. And I have to admit, one of the best things about the movie was the second credit scene where you had to sit through all the credits and you got that final scene with Winston.
Yes.
And Janine. Like, yeah. that was kind of worth it, because now, of course, you've got a little hint of there's going to be something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, and that, you know, it's going to be popular enough.
Yeah. Well, that's where, I see this, you saw it like Phantom Menace. I see it more like, not as much Phantom Menace, because Phantom Menace didn't totally rehash A New Hope. But,
well, no, but it was made for kids.
Yes. But this one felt more, similar to what they did with The Force Awakens, where it was an original story, yeah. but there was elements of the original in it. This one had a lot more elements than Force Awakens. But it's right. the same thing I saw when Star Wars did The Force Awakens, that Disney had to show that, hey, we can make a Star Wars movie that feels like Star Wars. And right. then they were able to move from there. This looks like they Sony's like, hey, we can still make a Ghostbusters movie. Now they can move forward and do something a little bit more original.
Right.
It's one of those things, things that makes it a little more harder to do when you got 20 years and like two generations in between the movies.
Right.
You have to establish that, hey, honestly, this is what Ghostbusters is. Now let's see what it can be in the future.
It was more interesting to find out what the Ghostbusters had been up to than it was to be in this small town. Like,
yeah.
I loved the fact that Winston basically bankrolls everything for the other Ghostbusters at this point.
Like, and see, the thing was, if you looked at their personalities, that made sense. Because, mm-hmm. like, you could see, because Ray was the research guy.
Mm-hmm. And you knew from Ghostbusters 2 where Ray was going to end up at.
Right. And yeah, and Winston, for some reason, I could see Winston, well, because he was the more practical one of them all.
Mm-hmm.
No, being the business guy.
Right.
Now, it's...
Although, technically, you could take a piece of that from the 2016 Ghostbusters, because he was the limo business owner.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, also, there's a lot of stuff that you didn't have to play it to see this, but I guess the 2009 Ghostbusters video game. It's still considered basically Ghostbusters 3. And I guess at that point, in that one, you have Dr. Winston Zeddemore. At some point, he went back and got a PhD.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and that game is considered canon.
And then you have from nods from the real Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Because honestly, at the beginning, when you got Egon fighting things at the very beginning, you knew it wasn't him as the actor, but they did a really good job with it. But his hairstyle was the cartoon hairstyle
yes.
with the little curl in his head. Yeah,
it was. I have to admit, like, I like that. I liked that we got the revamped Ecto-1.
With the gunner seat? Yeah, that was awesome. And then they looked down and they showed the actual mechanism a little bit at one point to how it would actually slide out. So it's not just, oh, it's a cartoon thing, so don't ignore what happens.
But you know what? It would have been nice if that wasn't in the trailer.
Yeah,
there was too much in the trailer.
Yeah,
to basically bring people in and say, "Look, this is the Ghostbusters you remember."
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have really cut the trailer stuff back.
And here's the other thing that bothered me. Like, okay, I'm like, if we're rehashing Ghostbusters, and I've seen movies do it, because Highlander 3 is basically Highlander 1,
right?
You know, it just basically is
just not done as well.
Just not done as well. So, but the thing was, you know, by time, you know, the sheriff has, taken their stuff, impounded Ecto 1. I was like, at that point, I think I was hoping for the town to be overrun with ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing I was hoping for.
And that's the part that made me wonder, because you had all this stuff happening with the ghosts, and like, you had Muncher, who was obviously in town at one point, was when they were chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the zombie miner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is there more? Are more establishments getting ghosts? Why are we not seeing more here?
Right.
Well, part of it, you got to think some of this, since the story is based around the kids, there's no way they could actually set up a business and actually start trapping ghosts. And since Egon had built that proton trap in the in the temple, everything was locked down until the final explosion, and then at that point it's like, okay, let's get to the end of this, because you only see two or three after the explosion in the original. You only see two or three really ghosts. I mean, you see the streaks going everywhere, but you only see a couple of ghosts there, but they've established that there are ghosts everywhere before that.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying so much was cut out, because there's definitely stuff happened in the town that they cut out, and they just decided to show one or two to represent it.
Right.
I think that was because they just didn't have time.
Like,
Right.
I mean, the sheriff should have been getting calls, and he would have been, should have been calling like, okay, y'all, what's going on here? And then, okay, you guys get your stuff. Right. Fix this. You know, but it's that, not going into business, they, but fix this.
They could have cut down the beginning exposition, which lasted far too long and got far too boring at the beginning, as the family was, oh, they're broke. Oh, they inherited a house. Oh, they moved to the small town. You didn't even need most of that for them to end up in the small town.
Right.
And they could have kept more scenes in that were more interesting with the actual ghosts and things happening there.
Yeah. Right.
That it would have made for a better movie.
Right.
I mean,
you know, it's pretty obvious. So, I mean, based on what we've, I know, based on the responses I've seen from people, it's going to make all the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to get more of it.
I was kind of surprised by certain people who didn't like the movie all that much.
Yeah.
There was a couple people who, friends of ours, who I thought they were going to go in and they were going to love it, especially for the nostalgia, and came out just thinking meh.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It was cool, though, in the theater. I had two or three of our Ghostbusters buddies were in the theater with us with their full suits and proton packs. And
There was one guy in our theater who came in with a suit.
Yes.
And a lot of people, of course, had the t-shirts and stuff.
Right.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised how many actual Ghostbusters cosplayers and Ghostbusters fans are actually out there that have the suits and the proton packs and stuff.
Right.
Right.
Well, hopefully, since we've given spoilers, hopefully you've actually seen the movie already. But just in case you haven't, if you go to a theater, be careful. If you go to a Cinemark theater, be careful if you buy one of the special Ghostbusters cups that has a straw topper.
Okay.
Because we saw this happen in our row, that if you put it into the drink holder, that straw topper makes it a little top heavy and will tip the drink over until you've actually had about a third of the drink.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The guy a few seats next to me, that's why the attendant suddenly came in with paper towels and things to clean up, because his drink mostly spilled on the floor right after he put it in the cup holder.
Damn.
That's terrible.
Because you have to pay, you're paying $9 for one of those special cups with the topper.
Well, they were going off because they have that. They also had that Stay Puft Marshmallow Man popcorn thing.
Yep.
And I guess
even if you didn't go to AMC to get the overpriced Ecto popcorn,
that's the one I was going to talk about.
you could get the Stay Puft holder, although the Stay Puft didn't look like it held like a large popcorn. It looked like a medium.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want that stuff sitting around your house, I told Kylan I don't want any more reusable cups in my house. So we're not getting one.
But in general, I really enjoyed the movie. But I like the sound. I like the a lot of stuff because I like sometimes I like the cinema and the way movies are made. That I like. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of little things that most people probably didn't catch, like when the kids are looking for something and just the little looks they give each other that are directly out of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
When Podcast and the girl are in the warehouse or the old steel mill or whatever that is, and they're looking. It just, there's a look they give each other that feels it's directly out of the basement of the library scene in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And unless you're really looking for it.
Podcast was perhaps the most annoying character in that whole movie. Oh, my God. I wanted to throw that kid out a window.
That was why he was there.
Oh, my God. He was horrible. This is why I don't like kids. It's kids like him. Like, I just, oh, my God. Horrible. Aside from the brother being annoying as hell, that kid. Like, the two of them. Yeah.
Are you talking the
one from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was unnecessary. He didn't really do anything.
He was the driver. He was Winston.
Yeah.
Typical 16-year-old.
Yeah, typical 16-year-old falling in love with the girl in the small town. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So everybody played their roles exactly the way they're supposed to. You're not supposed to like Podcast.
I do want to point out that, you know, with Ken liking this movie, I'm pretty sure I can go through our 300-something episodes and not find one he didn't like.
Well, as I said before, I don't go to a movie if I don't think I'm going to like it.
Right.
I don't remember which ones exactly, but there's a couple that weren't my favorites. But I find something to enjoy in everything I watch.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't go to a movie if I think I'm not going to enjoy it. And that's why I was so unbelievably disappointed with going to see a kid's movie.
Because, like, generally, unless we know it's a kid's movie, like, I don't know,
If I were to pay to see Clifford in the theater, right. Like, I know what I'm getting.
So I would say Incredibles, but Incredibles isn't a kid's movie.
Incredibles is good for adults, actually.
Yeah, because you know what? You don't have a dump truck butt like that, and it's like, oh, this is for kids.
Thighs.
No, that you don't do that. But you know, it's sort of like one thing, like if you go to the movie, you're expecting an action movie, and it becomes a period piece drama. Like
or romantic comedy.
Or romantic comedy. Like,
yeah.
Well, and I think that's what Don's saying. Like,
yeah.
Not to explain you, but it's like,
I didn't have high expectations. I was hoping for something like the original. I was not hoping for extreme nostalgia and copying of the original.
Right.
That's the difference. And a lot of people are happy when their nostalgic needs are met by just seeing copies of everything that was in something in the past. A lot of people are happy with, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's the sort of thing you're into. Well, I wanted something a little more original, but still calling back to the first movie's fun.
Yeah. Like 2016.
Honestly, I loved the 2016 movie because it was fun.
Right.
It had so much humor in it that mm-hmm. it was really good. Like, you don't put Melissa McCarthy in a movie and people from Saturday Night Live in a movie mm-hmm. unless you want the humor.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that's what you were getting. This movie, Paul Rudd didn't do anything for it. You know?
See, I thought when I was watching it, I saw all the stuff from the original, but I enjoyed the stuff that did change about it, that make the change. Because in the first one, they can't catch Gozer. They just send her back to her original plane. They actually catch her in this
right.
one.
True.
So this is never going to happen again until she escapes.
You presume they catch her.
Yeah, they've
temporarily put her out of commission, basically.
Yeah. Well, even in the... Now, if anybody's watched the original cartoon, all the ghosts that they catch, they don't destroy them. They just put them in the containment unit and they stay there.
Right.
So... Right. At some point, she's going to get out.
There was the one difference where Gozer learned from the original attack.
Yeah.
You know, Gozer learned that they had to uncross the streams and they could get away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was a learning experience
yeah.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, given that they're that intensely strong and they're more than a god,
mm-hmm.
they're not staying contained forever.
Exactly. Yeah, remember, you're literally facing a Sumerian god.
And
exactly.
It, it had
I have to admit, Ray had not learned his
on
lesson.
The wall.
And
years.
Yeah. Well, no, check that out from Vicky. Had a good point here that was interesting. Yeah.
They had the years Gozer escaped.
Yeah, every time that she had tried to come out and do something, remember, they had written on the wall, so...
Yeah, that's
we'll know in whatever the next number on that wall is if she tries to escape the containment unit.
It had 2021, and there were dates after that. They just didn't quite show them.
Yeah, there were, and Kylan was about to say how Ray didn't learn his lesson. He did not answer immediately that he was a god.
Well, yeah,
dude, don't think about it.
Ray, really? I'm like, wait, I remember if somebody asks you, "You a god?"
You say yes.
You know, I still have to say, I was telling a friend about this, about the time that we had met,
the one who plays Winston.
We got to play Winston.
Oh,
so we met
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
So we had met Ernie Hudson at a paranormal convention.
He's one of those celebrities that's just great to meet. Like, he's happy to meet people.
Right.
He's you can see that in interviews too.
Yeah, he's not just doing it because he feels obligated. He actually wants to meet people.
Right. And so, you know, we're talking to him and stuff, and he says, "You mean you guys really actually do this?" And I say, "Yeah." He said, "Have you ever seen a ghost?" And I'm freaking out because I'm talking to a Ghostbuster.
A Ghostbuster.
And somebody told me, somebody said, "You mean you didn't respond with, I've seen shit that would turn you white?" And I'm like, "Dadgummit!"
You were just too fanboy. Couldn't think of it.
I'm thinking about, wait, he's never seen a black paranormal investigator. And I'm letting him know, hey, no, we're real, dude. You kind of inspired me. You know, that's a moment I was having. I didn't think about it. I had an opportunity to say that.
Yep, there you go. Kylan just made the censor reel for this episode.
Yes, I did.
Almost to the end, and you have to, yeah.
Although I can't say I am now 2 degrees away from Brandon Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. That's important. Oh, and Dolomite.
You're 1 degree away from Ant-Man. You're 1 degree away from, 2 degrees away from, like, every Marvel actor because of Paul
Rudd. That's true.
Knowing Ernie Hudson.
That's true. So now, if I admit, so is it 1 degree? Would I be 1 degree from Brandon Lee or 2 degrees?
2 degrees, because it's the person and the person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. And I'm anyway. 2 degrees from Dolomite, too.
Kylan's pride knows no bounds sometimes.
Yes.
And Chuck Norris.
And no taste.
Hey, you know what?
That's not a surprise, because that's what we've had for 7 years here.
Exactly. Yeah, we know.
So, the result is we are kind of split decision on this movie. I really enjoyed it. Vicky, you said I know you had a lot of fun with it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I liked it.
I know, Dawn, you didn't like it, but make up your own mind, geeksters. Go out, check it out.
We know if you're a fan, if you liked the originals and stuff, you're going to go see it anyways just because you want to know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to make enough money that we're going to get another one.
Right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's a big enough movie that you're going to be sitting through 7 to 10 trailers depending on the theater you're in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I was happy to see the
one after the other.
I was happy to see the newest DC Super Pets trailer because that looks like a funny movie. Yes. I'm probably going to wait till it comes to or actually that one may end up on HBO Max pretty quick.
I wasn't sure if we were going to get that one as the mixed theater and streaming release, or they may just wait a week like Netflix did with Red Notice. They'll just give us a week in theaters.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, it's going to be a big draw for kids anyway. And I honestly thought when I was first reading about that movie that it was supposed to be other DC hero pets as well.
I thought right. so, too.
But it doesn't seem that way. It's just Crypto's the only DC pet.
Yeah, and then all the rest of them get powers all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah, they're like strays or something, or from a shelter or something. Right. And they just have random powers. But I mean, it's still kind of fun.
Yeah,
and The Rock voicing Crypto seems appropriate.
They do end up with the actual
Hart
heroes.
The squirrel.
Huh?
I still think Kevin Hart should have played the squirrel.
That would have been funny. But because I know that the one dog is Bat Dog or something like that, and one of them has Green Lantern powers. So they do become the actual DC superheroes,
right?
But it's not because they're the pets of those heroes,
right?
Right.
Right.
So unless something changes, I mean, unless we're just not seeing that, the trailer doesn't make it look like that though.
They get adopted later and become those pets for those heroes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, but anything else on Ghostbusters or anything else before we get ready to wrap this up this week?
You know, Josh Gad did a good job being Muncher.
Oh, is that who did Muncher?
I was a little disappointed that it was not Alan Tudyk, because, you know, if there's going to be a role where you don't actually speak but you make a lot of noise, it's going to be Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk, yeah.
But
yeah.
In this case, it was Josh Gad, so there you go.
Cool. So, but Geeksters, we are going to take a week off next week for the holiday weekend, but we will see you the week after that. And, the other one with Ghostbusters here is they put this out at the right time, because Eternals was, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And next week, so Ghostbusters is going to have this weekend. They'll probably have next weekend, because Resident Evil comes out next weekend, but that's not going to make the splash this is.
Well, no. And it's also not a family movie.
Exactly. No. So it's like this was the perfect weekend for them to drop this time.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see where this ends up at and how fast they greenlight the next one.
Well, that, and also with Black Friday and everything coming up, I say go ahead and support your local artists, because that's actually where I'm going to be in a week.
Next weekend, Vicky will be at the Akron Art Space for their art walk on Sunday, right?
That's not an art walk, an art show.
Art show on Sunday.
And
so.
there's a lot going on next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, because there's also Crafty Mart at the Bounce Innovation Hub, where our friend Charlie Murphy has the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Crystal's going to be there also.
Yeah, we have some friends who are going to be there at Crafty Mart. And then also, if you feel like swinging by Odd Mall Outpost, you can get your picture taken with Krampus.
Wow.
There you go.
Sit in the outpost.
And I believe Crafty Mart and the Summit Art Space are working together enough that if you go to both, I guess you can get a stamp and get entered into some kind of a raffle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're really close to each other. For those who aren't familiar with downtown Akron, like, sure, it would be a bit of a walk, but in terms of driving, you're about 3 minutes apart. Like,
yeah, free parking at both.
Yeah, free parking. And I believe is it free admission?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Donation admission? Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, there's literally nothing to lose except for spending a bit of time and hopefully some of your money on some Christmas presents you will not find anywhere else.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, but other than that, we'll see everybody in about 2 weeks. Hey, have you heard about the show and find us or Charlie Murphy or our friend Crystal with Live Dream Create? Let them know that you heard about it on Geek Watch 1 here. I want to hear if any of the geeksters actually showed up because we told them about it.
That's right.
Right.
So, but other than that, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, we are Geek Watch 1. If you put Geek Watch 1 into a search bar and don't find us, let us know and Miss Dawn will take care of the problem.
I'll be busting something.
That's right. You can also email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Tangent Bound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com and the Weebie Geeks Podcast Collective at weebiegeekspc.com. And remember, we just mentioned our buddy Charlie Murphy with Stray Dog. You go to Stray Dog Akron to hear all things Charlie Murphy, for the Stray Dog Cafes, the hot dog carts, the Akron Pickle, the and Bob's Burgers, or Bob's Hamburger. But check that out at Stray Dog Akron. And other than that, for Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.